Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. No better place we could be than in the house of the Lord. You've got your Bibles with you. Turn to 1 Corinthians. We're going to be carrying on in Corinthians. And we're going to finish off chapter 7. And he's still talking about similar things. He's talking about, I preached before, and about, it's about marriage and about keeping your marriage vows and continuing in marriage and the blessedness of marriage. And now he says, and to the unmarried, to single people and to widows. Now Paul's covering, one thing I'm pleased about is this. The Bible, it speaks about many different subjects, about many different things. And you might be in here tonight and might think, it don't really apply to me, but there's something in here for all of us. Because Paul was dealing with things that was obviously, he was being asked questions about. He said, I write you about the things that you've asked me previously. And sometimes he even said, I'll tell you these things by way of reminder, meaning like I've told you before, but I want to clear it up again and tell you again. Now, a lot of people use this. The Catholic Church use these scriptures that I'm about to read out for a reason why they don't allow nuns and priests to be married. Because Paul is going to explain that it's better for a man and woman to remain single if they can. But there's a reason why Paul said that. When you read it in context, there's a reason why Paul's saying this. And that's what we're going to have a little look at. We're going to find out as we go through. Yeah? I thought, when I read it, yeah, Paul, it's because of all the aggro marriage causes. So all the aggro, and you're trying to do your brothers a favour, say, so leave it out. But that's not the reason. That's partly the reason. We're going to see that. It's partly the reason. But we're going to have a look. All jokes on one side. We're going to have a look. Let's just read. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 25. Your Bible might have a different translation than mine. The proper translation is betrothed or single women, so that's how we're going to read it. It says, now concerning single women, I have no commandment, verse 25 this is, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment, as one whom the Lord in his mercy is made trustworthy. I suppose therefore it is good, because of this present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Then he goes on to explain, he says, are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed, but seek to be set free. Are you loose from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a young woman marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use the world is not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares for the things of the world, and how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a young single woman. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of this world, and how she may please her husband. And this I say, for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, that you may serve the Lord without distraction. But if any man thinks he is behaving improperly, we'll leave it there just for a minute. Let's cover a few things. So, in the verses before this, that I preached before, Paul talks about marriage in the chapter. He talks about free men and slaves. And Paul, before this, he's encouraging Christians everywhere not to seek to change their situation. He says, look, if you're a free man, then continue serving the Lord as a free man. If you're a slave, don't seek to be set free. Continue serving the Lord as a slave. And in fact, if your master is a brother of the Lord, serve him even better as a testimony. What he's saying is, don't be concerned about so much about your situation, but in this present time, as things are, focus on serving the Lord. He's telling them, look, everywhere, all these Christians, because this letter went out for all the other churches, that don't seek to change their situation in life, but where possible, remain in the state in which he was called, he says in verse 24. If it's possible, if you're not being killed, if you're not dying, if it's possible, remain in the state to which God saved you in. Especially if you was married, or if you're a slave, this applies the same encouragement to single men and women who desire to be married. Now he says, look, in verse 25 he says, now concerning young women, I have no commandment from the Lord, but I give judgment as one whose the Lord has mercy is made trustworthy. And I suppose, therefore, that it is good because of this present distress. Because of this present distress, Paul isn't against marriage. Paul was a Pharisee. Before he was a Christian, he was a Pharisee. He was a high priest of the Jews. And to be a Pharisee, you had to be married. Now he's got saved. It doesn't mention his wife. We don't know wife. His wife might have left him. That happened to a lot of Christians back in that time amongst the Jews, that their spouses left them because they entered into this new faith and went against their old religion. Or she might have died. But we know Peter was an apostle, and the Bible talks about in the New Testament how Peter took his wife on missionary journeys with him. Peter had a wife. So God isn't against marriage, and he isn't against people being married. He's saying, look, because of this present distress, because of the hardships and troubles of that time that is coming towards Christians, there was a persecution of this time. Now, there was a greater persecution coming. In about another 10 years on from that, this, about another 8-10 years from a reference when this letter was written, Nero, the emperor of Rome, turns against the Christians, blames them for setting Rome on fire, and a great persecution goes all across the Roman world, and Christians get slaughtered in the streets, men, women, and children. It was famous. If you read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, there was a famous emperor of Rome, I forget his name, and remember, you know what a human torch is? Well, what they used to do is they used to get the Christians in his garden, in his palace. And overnight, he'd set out his veranda. This is well documented in history. And they would soak the Christians, tie them up, soak them in pitch and tar. And he'd set them alight, rows of them all through his gardens, to light his gardens up overnight. These are the certain sorts of persecutions that went out throughout the Roman world. And Paul was saying, look, I'm not against marriage, but because of this present distress, and because of the persecution that's coming towards Christians, and the harder times are coming, a single life is more easier and more desirable. Because single people experience less distress and less personal difficulty in a hostile world, in a world that's hostile against Christians. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Imagine living in a place where there's persecution, like your brothers and sisters do in Africa, like they do in Sudan, like they do in Nigeria, like they do in Iraq and Iran and China, all these places where it's illegal or Christians are persecuted for being Christians. We don't suffer that here, do we? You go to any town in the country, it might not go on for much longer, but you go to any town in the country and preach the gospel. But imagine living in a country where you're persecuted for being a Christian. You're beat and set about and drummed out of the towns and villages, where your things are set alight and took off of you, where the gathers won't even get involved. They think you deserve it. And then imagine having a wife and children in that place. Imagine having to look after a wife and children in that place. Now, our brother Salim has been a preacher at this church, and an old church son. He's a pastor from Serbia, which is near Russia somewhere, country near Russia. Our brother Salim, when he first started the work there, he was away on a missionary trip, and the local tramp gypsies, who was Muslim, come and pulled his wife and children out of their place and beat them rotten for being Christians. And when he came home, he had no protection, he had no way of sticking up for him, because other people turned up in his house and pulled his wife and children out and beat them. And he went to the gather station. He went to the gathers. He said, look, these people have come and attacked me home and beat me home. I'm beating my wife and children. And they said, what for? He said, well, they said they was doing it because I'm converting Muslims to Christianity, like gypsy people. And they said, you deserve it. For converting Muslims to Christianity. So we don't understand what's going on here. You have to understand here. Paul was saying, because of this current distress, because of the time that we live, if you could remain free without causing more aggro to yourself, more problems, and having the responsibility of a wife and children, then do it. Continue to serve the Lord, because Jesus is coming soon. See, look, this is the thing we've got to consider. When you're single, getting married drastically changes your priorities, doesn't it? All the sisters are going like that. Right? Paul goes on to explain this, doesn't he? Because he says, look, a married woman cares about her husband and the things that her husband wants, and a married man cares about his wife and the things his wife wants. So he's saying, because of this current distress, you might be better off being single. Now, I've got to be honest, I don't think this quite applies to us today, this actual teaching. Because we don't live in a country at the minute where we're being persecuted. Where we're being dragged down and beaten and punished for being Christians. Again, what would it be like if you had all that responsibility, you had a wife and children, and we lived in a country like that? You wouldn't want to leave the place, would you? You wouldn't want to leave your wife and children on their own, would you? See, getting married drastically changes someone's circumstances and their priorities and their life. And at a time of persecution, and at a time when the persecution is bad, and it's going to get worse in Paul's day, Paul is saying, don't bring about such a drastic change in your life and in your circumstances and in your living that will cause you to take your focus off the Lord. He's saying, why put yourself in a position because of the persecution where all of a sudden your priorities ain't going to be serving God and telling people about Jesus, but it's going to be your wife and children. Spare your wife and children. Spare yourself that trouble. Paul wasn't saying that a man shouldn't be married or a woman shouldn't be married. In fact, he goes on to say these things are good. And that if you can't remain single, but Paul is talking about a specific time in history here. Where when he was about, there was great persecution and great troubles for Christians. Where life was hard for Christians. Now, we might suffer other hardships in family, in children, in go put food on the table, things like that, financial hardships. But, and I do think this time is coming, and coming soon, but none of us at this minute are being dashed and beat because we believe in Jesus, are we? None of us are being killed because we're followers of Jesus. Paul is saying here, look, don't change your circumstances in such a drastic way where your priorities change. Where you can't focus on God and you can't serve the Lord. He's saying at this time, he's talking there, if you ain't married, don't seek to get married. You're helping yourself and the person you're going to marry. If you are married, don't leave them. Look after them. But don't try and swap your situation. Thank God the church doesn't suffer the same persecution today as it did in Paul's day. But the lesson stands. Don't do anything in your life that would make it harder for you to serve the Lord. Do we understand that? So what does that mean? What can that look like? What could that look like? A drastic change in circumstances of life. Maybe, I think for me, I think that drastic change would be that my desires would change, my priorities would change, the things I want to do and have and be change, and that changes my focus, it changes my life, it changes my home. I've seen men, and we've talked about men today who serve the Lord faithfully, and then all of a sudden their hearts change, whether it be by work or by a woman about a man or about a life or about even an holiday or things or a motor or a car or a watch or it can be anything. Children. I tell you what, for them who's got teenagers, God, mate. Then it all changes when you have when they grow up and start running into men and women. Oh, mate, and it all cushy when they're all chavvies. Margaret, Joseph, right? Do look up on that one, right? And it is though, isn't it? And all of a sudden they start getting out and you think, oh, look, what's going on here? I was laying in the bed with me the other day. And all of a sudden, and then you've ever seen people get caught up with them things. They get caught up with them. Things change, things outside influence can change, and all of a sudden our focus for the Lord can change. And Paul's saying, look, here it's specifically talking about marriage. People seeking an husband or a wife, and he's telling them how to deal with it in a current time of persecution. We're not coming to that persecution, but maybe our problems are different. Maybe our trouble and our hardships in our life is different at this point in time. But the point stands. Don't do anything that will take your focus off the Lord. Don't go anywhere or get involved in anything or make a plan in anything or put yourself in anything that will take your focus upon the Lord. Serve God faithfully, he says. Serve God without distractions. He says, but I say this, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives, they should be as though they've had none. For those who weep as though they did not weep, for those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, for those who had possession as though they did not possess anything. Paul's telling the Corinthian church that they should understand the time in which they live. And I think, brothers and sisters, that's very important for us. Paul's saying, look at the time in which you live. Look at what's going on around you. Look at the persecutions that's happening. Why put more of a burden on yourself? Why put more of an heartache on yourself by entering into something that maybe you're not called to? Spare yourself the pain. Lord, I wish I'd have learned that lesson when I was growing up. And as a young Christian I'm talking about, I wish I'd have spared myself pain when I caused things to happen in my life and brought things upon myself that I had no need to because of my own thinking, because of my own desires, because of my own way. He's saying, look at the time in which you live. Live as though Jesus is coming soon. Know the time in which you live. If you're a person who's and you're all about money, listen, forget about it for a minute. Serve the Lord. If you're a married man, listen, this is not doing away with married men or married women's responsibility towards their spouses. The Bible clearly teaches a responsibility towards our husbands and wives in a duty of care through love and grace and compassion and leadership. Paul's not doing away with that. He's saying, listen, if you're married, serve the Lord. Make it possible that your wives understand when you're away and you're doing what you're doing, that you're serving God, you're doing it for the glory of the Lord. If your wives are serving God, encourage them to do it. Brothers, understand what your wives are doing and they're serving God. If you are, though, live as though you wasn't married. If you possess, live as though you did not possess. If you're someone who's dwelling in this world and dealing and going, live as though you didn't, because think of the time in which you live. What he's saying is what? The time is short. Jesus is coming soon. And brothers, listen, I long for that time of preaching again. When I was a young Christian, we always heard preach, Jesus is coming soon, Jesus is coming soon. And that is true. Today, I live 24 years closer to the Lord's return than I did when I first got saved. If Jesus was going to return at 12 o'clock, we're at 1 minute to 12. This is what the Bible teaches us. This is what the way of the world. Brothers and sisters, discern in which the time that you live. Don't get caught up with the things of this world. Don't get caught up with the things of life. What Paul is saying is focus on what's important. Remember that you have a Saviour and he is coming soon. The time is short. I heard a man say this once, and I don't know how I would achieve it. But I understood what the man was saying. I think it'd be very, very hard for me to achieve it. And he said, if this was your last day on earth, how would you live? Well, I know what I'd do. I'd make sure, and I'd tell my children I love them every day. All my children. Any wife. Any family. But I'd make sure that I told them the things I wanted to tell them. If there was someone I wanted to tell about Christ, and I never have, and I hope that, Lord, this never happens, but I can't tell them about Jesus. How would you live if it was your last day? If Jesus was coming tonight, how would we serve? How would we live? I know I would think and live and speak a lot differently if I knew Jesus was coming at 12 o'clock tonight. But yet, it could be in 1 minute's time. Could be 10 minutes tonight. Could be before we leave this altar tonight. Paul was aware, he's saying, look, your circumstances and the way that you live can make dictate what your priorities are. And that's natural. We live in a real world. We've got to understand we live in a real world, we have responsibilities. But he's saying all these responsibilities you might have, whether it be work or marriage, or live as though you had none in the way that you serve God. And what that means is we have to put the Lord first sometimes, brothers and sisters. Regardless of what's going on, regardless of what happened and what's going on in my life, I have to be able to say that, Lord, and listen, there's a season for things, but I have to be able to put the Lord first and say, Lord, I put you first. I think upon you and call upon you first. I serve you first, Lord. I give you not the scraps of my life, but the best of my life. Paul isn't saying that marriage is bad. Paul's saying his distractions are bad. And that distraction at this time, Paul's talking about, could have been marriage for these young people. But what is it for us? You know what one of my biggest distractions are? I was thinking about it today. I thought, I ain't got no distractions. I'm full on, firing on all four, running as fast as I can for the Lord. That'd run a shame, right? I'm just kidding myself. Now the cranky TikTok. Honestly. Right, I'm, he's laughing, you know. So, now the cranky TikTok. Right, I'm thinking, oh, look at this man's teaching about this, and I like looking at history things and archaeology, biblical archaeology and things like that. And I'm looking at all this biblical archaeology and all these things about history, all these things about Moses and Noah's Ark, and all of a sudden there's a Chinese fella busting himself, and there's a woman falling down a set of stairs, and the cranky fella's on the skateboard, and the car's running over, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's what you get for riding skateboards, right? And I'm 10 minutes looking at the Christian stuff, probably wasted an hour looking at the Chinese people cooking the jokes or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, listen, it's true, isn't it? And I think, Lord, how simple-minded am I that I could be so easily distracted? Forget about a storm. Forget about something big happening in your life. I can't get the grips for the social media. That's doing me in. Satan ain't got to try and tempt me in another way because social media's doing me in. That's me. That's probably none of you at all. It's always him. That's definitely him. Know the time that you live. I'll be aware that we're living in a time when Jesus could return every minute. If you don't believe it, get to believe it and know it and understand it. Give ourselves a shake and a wake up and say, Jesus is coming soon. Lord, what do you want from me? Like Charles preached here Sunday morning. Lord, what do you want from me? How can I live to glorify your name? What can I do for you that would glorify you, build your kingdom, Lord? Know the time in that you live. Be aware of things and the way that things are happening in the world. Don't allow just to bury your head in the sand in your life and all different sorts of distractions and things. Be aware of the time you live, he's saying. Paul goes on, he says, but if any man thinks he's behaving improperly towards his young woman, if she is past the flower of youth, and thus it must be let him do what he wishes, he does not sin, let them marry. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but as the power of his own will, and has determined in his heart that he will keep his young woman, does well. So then, he who gives her in marriage does well, and he who does not give her in marriage does well. A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment. And I think I also have the Spirit of God. Paul goes on to explain, listen, look. He's saying, look, because of this current climate that we're living in, because of the persecution, because of the things that's happening, how hard it is to live and survive as a Christian in this part of the world, and it's only going to get worse. It gets a lot worse from this point on in history for Christians for a time, right? He's saying, you're better off, if you can be single, be single. But he's saying, look, if you can't be single, if you don't want to live that way, and you feel compelled to take a husband or a wife, you don't sin, then go and do it. Just don't get distracted while you're doing it. He even goes on to say, look at all the different things that Paul's dealing with. These must have been questions he's got asked by this church. Because he's written to him and said, look, this is how you deal with this is how you deal with that, this is what I say about this is what I say about that. And he says, look, if a young woman, if her husband dies, or a young man's wife dies, then they are free to remarry if they wish, but only in the Lord. What does that mean? To another Christian. But only in the Lord. But he does go on to say, a sister is a lot happier if she can remain single and be happy in that way. Because it would be aggro being married to a man, I assume, you know what I mean? It's about smiling, right? So look at all the different things that Paul is dealing with. And look, we might think, well, what's all this about? Does this really apply to us? But I think the lesson stands. The lesson stands is this, that if I was to apply this to us now, I'd say, don't cause anything to happen in your life that would change your outlook or your focus or your circumstances in such a way that you would stop serving the Lord. Focus on the Lord. Know the time in which you live. Right, I want to be completely clear here. Paul is not against marriage. He's just saying, sometimes, because of certain situations, it's good to abstain from certain things until things change. And I think the world has changed. I think we live in a different time than it. And Paul's saying, look, if you can't remain single, then be married. But apart from what he's teaching there about marriage and single people and widows and that sort of thing, apart from what he's teaching there, let us remember the lesson. Know the time in that we live. Don't cause anything to come upon your life, to change your life in such a way where you walk away from God, where you lose your focus from the Lord. Keep your focus on God. And he said, listen, I want you to serve without care. Brothers and sisters, serve the Lord without care. Be in the will of God and serve God without care, in whichever way you see fit, whichever way God is calling you, to serve the Lord without care. Don't bring burdens upon yourself that's going to make you say, well, I can't go and serve the Lord because of this. And the Lord will say, yeah, but you've run that on yourself. I told you to go down that road. Well, I would serve you, Lord, but look at the state I'm in now. Look what's going on with this. Look what's... And listen, I know it's hard. I listen, recently I've had health problems. I've had other problems in my life throughout time. I've had all different things going on. And there has been times where I couldn't get to church or I couldn't witness. I couldn't serve the Lord as I desired. And I think God understands them things. But let that only be a season or a time before you're back on track of serving the Lord. If there is something that hinders you, then let it be gone. Say, Lord, that's gone now. That's moved out of the way. I'm going to continue in you. I'm going to carry on the road that I've always been. Serving you, Lord. My eyes upon you. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, my God, and I praise you, Lord. And I glorify your wonderful name. I thank you, Lord, that there's, Lord, lessons in your word.